Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to The Corridor, brought to you by Realtor Kim Purcell of Sutton Group Masters Realty. Connect with Kim today to find a new home tomorrow via kimpurcell.ca. I'm Jesse Bell, and with me today is CFRC's arts correspondent, Genevieve Hinch. Our top story is from CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter, Christina Laurie, and it provides an update on the future of the proposed Promenade Water Park.
Hello, I'm Christina Laurie, Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories in Kingston and the Islands. You can listen to CFRC's news programs Today in YGK and Kingston Currents on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify and Apple Music. If you have any Kingston news tips you'd like to share, you can reach me at news@cfrc.ca.
The proposed Patry Aquatic Park is no longer moving forward after the city and Patry Inc. Development failed to reach an agreement on a $1 million in-kind sponsorship. Council approved the sponsorship and naming rights arrangement in 2025 as part of the plans to expand swimming opportunities at Battery Park through an inflatable water park and enhanced swimming platform. This work is part of the larger Confederation Basin Promenade project, which includes a new accessible walkway and public space experience on the existing breakwall that shelters Flora McDonald Confederation Basin. At Council's last meeting, staff told Council that while the inflatable water park is no longer part of the plan without the sponsorship to support it, the enhanced swimming platform remains a valuable waterfront amenity.
This enhanced swimming platform that we're talking about is really more the creation of a bit of a swimming pool in the lake, if you wish. It's that concept that allows actually people, and especially kids, to have a more safe environment for swimming in the lake. It also provides space for parents to be around. It provides the ability for partners to deliver programs and lessons even within that space. So it's almost creating a bit of a swimming pool, but in the lake. So there would be a significant program difference between the two.
Staff informed Council that without the sponsorship funding, about $400,000 would need to be included in the 2027 capital budget to still deliver the swimming platform. After some questions to staff, several councillors supported the move, stressing that Kingston needs additional swimming opportunities, particularly with Culligan Water Park closed and the proposed Invista Aquatic Facility still years away.
It's clear that there's been a lot of work and time and discussion and consultation that's gone into this by staff, and and I myself personally have relayed a lot of concerns from constituents to staff, and I'm very pleased with this proposal as it exists. And I think the other thing too that we really need to consider is, as part of our strategic plan, is trying to find creative ways to create new means of access for aquatics and recreation. And so I'm happy to support the recommendation in this report.
I think that especially with enclosing the Culligan pool at the Memorial Center, we've kind of lost some outdoor swimming space, and having an expanded swimming dock would really add back to that what we have lost. So, and I think that if we can do this, then that would be a great addition for the city for like programming, like it was said before. So.
The end of the inflatable water park proposal was not a loss for some residents who had opposed locating the attraction in Confederation Basin. Concerns raised included noise, traffic, parking pressures, and supervision requirements.
For one, we're very happy that you have the option to not proceed with the Patry Aquatic Park. That was very important to us from the get-go, and happy to see that there.
Some residents, however, remain concerned about the swimming platform itself, particularly around water safety.
So we would like to see reports on the safety, environmental safety of that basin before the community would be all excited about having that done. The marina is there. Boats come in. Young kids now are taking electronic speedboat things, going through the basin there and having a good time. But there isn't any demarcation that's clear as to where there would be safety for swimmers who would actually be in the water enjoying it.
City staff assured that water quality is regularly monitored by both the city and public health officials, and that swimming access could be closed off if issues arise. However, councillors like Lisa Osanek remain unconvinced, arguing the decision to move forward with the platform is premature.
I think that this is a little bit too premature. Let's first build, you know, the, what are we calling it, right? The big breakwater, right? The new parkway system. And then see how that breakwater is going to affect the water quality within there. This is like 400,000, just a little bit too soon. Let's build the promenade first. That gives us time to see, you know, the wave action, the water flow. At the same time, last year at this time, in 2025, when we were last talking about this, we hadn't actually approved the big condo that's going to be built right there next to the Marine Museum. And with that condo is going to be, if I believe the planning report correctly, a community benefit of a deep water dock. And so we're going to be having boats coming in, ships coming in, who knows how big. They could be using that dock, but also bringing diesel and other pollution with them. And again, that could affect the water quality in there too. And it might not become the big enhanced swimming area that we hope for right now. We don't know the effect.
In their report to council, city staff also proposed pursuing Grass Creek Park as a potential future location for an inflatable water park. Updated studies found the site to be suitable despite earlier concerns about shallow water. Any future project would require a Crown land lease and several regulatory approvals, a process staff estimate could take about 3 years. Council was asked to approve moving forward with pursuing these approvals. While supportive of both the additional $400,000 for the platform and pursuing the potential new site, Councillor Don Amos noted his disappointment in the inflatable water park proposal falling through.
I cannot say how much I am disappointed that this water park is not moving forward at this time. This is something our families need. This is something that that young children would enjoy, teenagers would enjoy. It's a full aspect of something that gets a lot of people talking in a positive way about our city. And now we're probably putting it on hold a minimum of 3 years, according to the report. The way the federal government works and the provincial government, we're probably looking at 5 years. So it's frustrating, and at the end of the day, our families lose out on this.
Ultimately, council approved both the swimming platform funding direction and the Grass Creek approvals process in separate 9-3 votes. Construction for the promenade project is expected to begin in 2027. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. Coming up next, I'll be reading a story by Megan Beavis, LJI reporter for YGK News, about a revision to Kingston's ICE allocation policy. Kingston City Council has directed staff to revise its ICE allocation policy after concerns were raised about equitable access to arena change rooms. Deputy Mayor Wendy Steven first became aware of the issue when she heard that girls on a local co-ed hockey team did not have access to appropriate change room space. Quote, "When you look at ICE allocation policy, it talks about equity, and that's really important, but it doesn't actually mention change room equity." While the issue was initially raised by girls on a co-ed hockey team, the policy changes will also aim to improve equity for the non-binary and transgender community. Stephen shared a conversation that she had with a trans advocate about the new motions. Quote, "One of the things that did come out of our conversation that I thought was really valuable was the reminder of sex-based language and identity-based language," said Stephen. River Stone, an advocate for the trans and non-binary community, appeared before council to give an informative presentation to provide suggestions on inclusive language to use when reforming the policy. Stephen's motion originally included gender-based language, including, quote, "female participants." After her conversation with Stone, she provided amendments that would change the policy to say, "all participants." The council meeting included other councillors speaking out in favor of the new policy. Councillor Amos, a former hockey coach who seconded Stephen's motion, stressed the importance of inclusion in hockey. Kingston City Council unanimously approved the motion to create proper guidelines for equity and inclusion pertaining to change rooms and to use proper language when creating the new policy. City Council asked that the staff return to Council with the updated policy at the end of summer before the 2026-2027 hockey season. During the meeting, Deputy Mayor Stephen concluded the proposed motion by delivering a reassuring message about using proper language to the Council. Thank you to Megan Beavis of YGK News for that story. Coming up next, Ted Evans from CJAI Amherst Island Radio.
Hi, I'm Ted Evans, local journalism initiative reporter and news director at CJAI, Amherst Island Radio, 101.3 FM in Stella, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories from Loyalist Township. You can hear Amherst Island Radio's news program, North Shore News, on 101.3 Amherst Island Radio or online at cjai.ca. For showtimes throughout the week, check the schedule on our website at cjai.ca. Loyalist Township Council has decided to go ahead with a new staff plan to relocate programming from the Leisure and Activity Center in Amherst View. Staff looked at feedback from residents and completed a review on the space. Staff's review confirmed recreation service levels can be maintained through a combination of municipal space and third-party facility use. Based on program testing conducted in May and June, staff found that the W.J. Henderson Community Center is only suitable for low-volume fitness programming, but due to a number of factors including room layout, ceiling height, acoustics, privacy, and overall functionality considerations, high-volume fitness classes are better suited to third-party spaces. Staff noted that deferring the closure beyond August 1, 2026 would impact ongoing discussions related to childcare in the township and space negotiations with BGC Southeast. Members of the community were out to voice concerns, including programming, scheduling, cost, and location.
This is our community center. The dispensing of programs in multiple locations takes a step back from the goal of centralizing programs under one roof. It is not about the boys and girls deadline, but about making the correct decision for the whole community.
Council should think carefully and not be pressured into making this decision to fit the Kingston Boys and Girls Club schedule. There's a saying, your emergency is not my problem. This decision should be made with complete information, careful consideration, and without haste.
It took years to develop LAC. I acknowledge the work to come up with a plan in a short period of time, but this plan is in no way ready to implement in such short notice.
I think it is great that the Boys and Girls Club have a chance of obtaining a grant to open a daycare. And knowing this, it gives me no pleasure to say that I believe their benefits should not be our losses. I believe renting these spaces in different locations that is not under one roof will be problematic, as it has been in the past for staff and members. And these programs will also be more vulnerable because now we are not owners, we are renters.
Manager of Parks and Recreation with the Township, Matthew Sabalski, speaks about maintaining service levels.
In this report, we have addressed that service levels that are expected are maintained. So we do have 20 hours of fitness classes that are outlined in this report. And 75% of those programs that are going to be moving to an alternative location will be moving to Rhythm Dance Center. And the other 25% would be moving to the WJH Community Room or ACH as an alternative location. So it does maintain our current service levels as outlined in this report.
Councillor Paul Proderick spoke about residents' concerns.
I guess I've been troubled since the start because the word closure, I prefer the word relocation, but that's just my English teaching background. In the surveys that were presented to council, there was 152 submissions on this. Number one was program availability at 86%, and 93% of the 152 respondents wanted adequate programming.
Proderick went on to speak about the importance of daycare in Loyalist Township.
If you walk around parts of the township, there are lots of people looking for daycare. I think some of the questions have been answered. The big question is, can you have getting it all under one roof? And right now, I don't see that as an option. I firmly believe in daycare, but I'm firm on the daycare. And if it costs me, if I should run again for election, so be it. I think it's the right decision, and it can only help our growing township, and I will stand by that.
Deputy Mayor Nathan Townend explained staff and council's focus.
I think throughout this this process over the last couple of months, the word I would use to describe what we have been trying to do here in collaboration with staff, obviously at ground level, is accommodation. You know, we are trying to accommodate the feedback that we've had from residents and users of the LAC. We're obviously trying to accommodate childcare spaces. We're trying to accommodate the provincial government's timeline for the funding that will make those spaces possible. And so from our side, the work has been accommodation. The flip side to that from members of the public is compromise. And, you know, I want to acknowledge that, you know, we are asking residents and users to compromise. You know, we are asking users to compromise the fact that the LAC has been this particular space that has functioned a particular way and meant a particular thing to those users, and now we are changing that.
Townend went on to explain their decision.
We have tried to accommodate, and staff in particular have worked hard to do that. There were comments made about, you know, the change in this report versus, you know, the original report, and you know, things do change, and, you know, the democratic process has worked here in this situation. You know, we heard the feedback and we responded to the feedback, and staff have responded to the feedback, and staff have worked to make adjustments and change courses to try and, as I say, accommodate. I do think this is in overall the best interests of the township. I don't want the narrative here to be that young people were chosen over old people, that childcare spaces were chosen over seniors. That is a politicized and simplistic way of looking at it that I don't feel is the case. We are trying to accommodate our residents and the needs of our residents, and that requires some compromise.
Councillor Jake Ennis noted the importance of childcare in the area.
I'm sympathetic to the need for childcare. My youngest is in junior kindergarten, so I've been through the daycare process for two children recently. It's not easy. It's expensive. Where responsibility lies for making that happen across various organizations and levels of government. However, I also believe that a large portion of the community sees this closure as a cut to their recreation services. And I find it difficult to argue with them in principle.
Councillor Carol Parks spoke about their decision-making process.
From conversation with several residents in regards to the LAC closure, it really is, the deputy has mentioned, a change of venue or consideration for change of venue. In the original report that came out, it was moving everything under the WHC. So we did take that information back from the residents that was brought forward about the concerns about the location and changed course. And I think staff has provided some fairly substantial alternatives to the LAC to run the programming between the Rhythm Dance Center and also through the Presbyterian Church.
In an effort to accommodate the needs of everyone involved, council voted in favor of the new plan. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
Thank you to Ted Evans for that story. Coming up next, we have Genevieve Hinch reading a story by Keith Dempsey, LJI reporter for the Brockville Recorder and Times, about a delay in the construction of Gananoque's East End Pumping Station.
Thank you, Jesse. The town of Gananoque's East End Pumping Station upgrade project is now approximately 70% complete, but is expected to be nearly a year behind schedule due to design issues, site conditions, and construction delays. Council received an update on the $8 million infrastructure project during its June 3rd meeting. The contract for the pumping station upgrade was awarded to the Kingdom Construction LTD for around $8.04 million, including HST with more than $4 million in funding provided by the province through the Ontario Ministry of Infrastructure. According to the staff report, the project encountered challenges early in construction, including design discrepancies and contractual issues between consultant J.L. Richards and the contractor. Additional delays related to site shoring requirements, design errors, and inaccurate records of existing site conditions further extended the timeline, the report adds. Town staff negotiated 3 change orders with the contractor, totaling nearly $990,000. The largest, valued at $500,000, relates to costs associated with delays and has yet to be paid. Council approved an additional $1.37 million for the project in October of 2025 to address unforeseen costs. After the negotiated change orders, approximately $377,000 remain in the approved surplus budget. Despite the additional costs, staff reported the project is not currently operating at a deficit, although several outstanding items may still require further funding once the final costs are known. The pumping station is now expected to be commissioned in late fall of 2026, roughly 1 year later than originally anticipated.
Thank you to Genevieve Hinch and Keith Dempsey for that story. Coming up next, I've got the Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region, and after a sweltering weekend, we are starting to see slightly cooler conditions here in the city of Kingston. Tuesday, June 16th, 22 degrees is your high with a mix of sun and cloud and about a 30% chance of precipitation. Wednesday, June 17th, slightly warmer, 21 is your high, feeling closer to 24 with partly sunny conditions, dropping down to 14 overnight. Thursday, June 18th, an 80% chance of precipitation in the forecast with a daytime high of 20 degrees, dropping back down to 14 overnight. Friday, June 19th, slightly cooler. 19 is your high, feeling about a degree cooler at 18, with a 73% chance of rain in the forecast, dropping down to a surprisingly chilly 11 degrees overnight. Saturday, June 20th, 20 is your high, going to feel closer to 19, cloudy conditions in the forecast with a 35% chance of precipitation. Sunday, June 21st, warming back up again, a little bit more sun in the forecast, high of 22, feeling closer to 24, dropping down to 14 overnight. Starting next week, Monday, June 22nd, beautiful Monday here in the city of Kingston, 22 is your high with clear and sunny conditions, dropping down to 13 overnight. And that concludes your Environment Canada weather report. Coming up next, we have Genevieve Hinch with CFRC's concert and events calendar for the week.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Genevieve Hinch, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community festivals, workshops, theater, pride events, or just something fun to do around the city, there is plenty of things happening this week in Kingston, so let's get into it. Tuesday offers a mix of community events and live entertainment. The Italo-Canadian Club hosts its popular all-you-can-eat pasta night from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., while gardeners can head to Calvin Park Ranch from the ground up, a garden workshop series. Live music includes Eric Urin and Megan Ballon at the Cove Inn and Musiki's weekly open mic night. Literary and music fans can also catch Quirks of Human Nature featuring Meg Freer and Deborah Schrumans at the Timeout Bar. On Wednesday, Queen's University hosts Indigenous Health Day from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., while the Tech Gallery continues its In Memory of Rose expedition. If you're looking for something social, Wonderland hosts a board game night beginning at 6 p.m. Later that evening, Something in the Water Brewing Company presents the Beach Episode, a drag and burlesque showcase running from 8 to 11 p.m., Live music highlights include Vince DeBeale at the Bank Gastro Bar and music from Big Pink featuring the Bourbon Tabernacle Choir at Hotel Wolf Island. Thursday starts bright and early with a summer solstice forest therapy walk at Little Cataraqui Creek Conservation Area. The Kingston Public Market returns to Springer Market Square throughout the day, while the Kingston LGBTQ+ Business Mixer takes place in the evening. Film lovers can catch a free outdoor screening of But I'm a Cheerleader in Springer Market Square at 8:15 p.m. Live music includes Morgan Davis at the Cove Inn, Alex Mundy and Friday's Child at the Broom Factory, and a jam night at the RCHA Club. Friday is packed with music, theater, and community events. Skeleton Park Arts Festival officially gets underway with Walks of Life, an open mic night at Next Church. Domino Theater continues performances of Very Heaven, while music fans can catch Fleetwood Nicks and Practically Petty at the Sphere, Parabolus at the Broom Factory, and Philip John Lewin, Sandro Perry, and Sing Leith at Hotel Wolf Island. Gerald McGrath also takes the stage at the Turnanog later in the evening. Heading into Saturday, one of Kingston's biggest weekends of the summer begins. Skeleton Park Arts Festival takes over McBurney Park with live music, art, food, and family activities throughout the day. Downtown Kingston hosts the Princess Street Promenade, turning the city's main street into a pedestrian-friendly celebration of local businesses, performers, and vendors. The Montreal Street Vintage Market also returns, while Daft Brewing hosts the Mike McPherson Memorial Music Fundraiser. In the evening, Trans Family Queer Prom takes place at the Ambassador Events Center. Music highlights include Y2D Wayne at McKinnon Brothers Brewing Company, Squid Pistol at Spearhead Brewing, and Al Lerman at the RCHA Club. Wrapping things up, Sunday, National Indigenous Peoples Day celebrations take place at Confederation Park from 1 to 6 p.m. Skeleton Park's Arts Festival continues throughout the day with performances across multiple stages. Live music include Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn Waterside Patio, Gizmo, Naked by Nine, and Lumpfish at the Broom Factory, and Sounds on Synonym closing out the festival at McBurney Park. The Memorial Center Farmers Market also returns from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for anyone looking to spend a relaxing Sunday supporting local vendors. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for June 15th through the 21st. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. So be sure to check out their upcoming shows and events throughout the season. I'm Jenny, and thanks for listening, and have a great week, Kingston!
And that's a wrap for this week's edition of The Corridor, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Don't forget to visit CFRC.ca for the latest in local and regional news headlines, concert and events listings, and more. You can also follow CFRC on Facebook and Instagram at CFRC Music and on Twitter X at CFRC. You can support CFRC and its independent news programming by donating via CFRC.ca. We'll be back next week with more in local and regional news. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, situated on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of Smith Engineering.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.